morning, Wisconsin. Take two. Good morning. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us live and direct here on WFHR Morning Show. Seth and James here with you at 8:04 on the clock. We're joined right now by our good friend Paul Tromla. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
How you doing today, Paul?
Not bad. Everything's going there.
Doing all right here. We're kind of getting ready for what's to come. Can you let us know a little more about that?
Yeah, still we're going to have the rain showers heading in with this system today here. More afternoon, I was starting to see some of that edging up into our area. And then could end up some snow showers as we get later this evening. Not much for any accumulation. I think it would be less than an inch the way things are looking by tomorrow morning at this time. But still cloudy today with rain in the afternoon. Highs about 43. Tonight, rain showers turning over to some snow showers later in the evening, down to 20. And then a cold and blustery period Friday and Saturday, along with some scattered snow showers or flurries Friday, 26. Northwest winds 15 to 30. 13 Friday night, maybe some flurries or a snow shower. And then still with some breezy northwest winds Saturday, clouds, a few flurries or snow showers, mid-20s. 11 Saturday night, turning partly sunny by Sunday, mid-30s. And then 13 Sunday night, still warming back up to next week's temps in the low 40s. Monday, partly sunny, mid-40s Tuesday. Maybe some rain showers coming back in middle of next week. I'm meteorologist Paul Tromla.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah, we did.
We were going to get a gumbo of weather where we get a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate you, Paul, joining us all week long. Looking forward to tomorrow, getting people ready for the weekend.
Sounds good to me. Yep.
Have a good one.
You too.
Best in the business right there. Friend Paul Tromla and the gang at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate them. Great at what they do, even when they got to give us news like that.
Yes, he does. You know, his straight face. He's just very, you know, professional about it all the time.
If you got to get bad news or rough news or what have you, that's it.
I wonder if he hires out for that.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I would definitely. I had this thought when when my son was about 6 months old or something like that. We were at the store. No, he had to have been a year. We're at the store and he wanted something. We weren't able to get it for him or whatever. And I hadn't been in that situation a lot as a dad yet, and I didn't want to have to disappoint my kid. I didn't want to say no to him and everything. I was never good at being the bad cop.
Sure.
If they did something really dangerous, you know, putting their finger in a light socket or something, sure, you could put your foot down. But as far as being the bad cop, I was never any good at that. And I'm trying to think of what I honestly wanted to ask, like call up my dad, because my dad was always really good at it. Maybe too good in some ways.
Yeah, right.
But he was always able to do that for us. And everything. Mm-hmm. I almost wanted to hire him to give bad news to my son. Yeah. And like, all right, thanks, Dad. You're done now. You can go. You can go. There goes Papa. There goes Papa JC. He's leaving.
your son is nothing but the only thing he thinks about his grandfather is a horrible news.
Yeah, it would be horrible. It would be a horrible thing. Thank God I didn't put that, you know, go through with that.
Your poor dad.
I do like this. We are going to get into a fun one right now. There is earth-shattering news in the dog world.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's perfect that we have this story today, of course. We, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick it off with our Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
And we have National Dog Day coming up. That, I believe,
is on the 23rd,
I want to say. Yeah, the 23rd of this month is National Puppy Day. I'm sorry, it's Puppy Day.
It's Puppy Day.
March 23rd is Puppy Day. For the first time in 3 decades that we have a brand new U.S. favorite dog.
Mm.
The Labrador Retriever is not America's number one dog. That's the first time in three decades.
3 decades. My goodness.
The American Kennel Club has released a list of the most popular dog breeds in the U.S. in 2022 based on registration statistics. Mm. Now, we as sports fans, like especially football fans, got real tired of the New England Patriots kind of running things for long.
Yeah.
Over like two decades, they were dominant. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, you know, they didn't win the Super Bowl every year, but every year you worried they'd be in the Super Bowl or something like that.
Yeah.
That's for, what, a decade and a half, maybe a decade, maybe somewhere around there. 3 decades, the Labrador Retriever has been running game over all these other dogs and having bragging rights and everything.
And
the American Kennel Club has released its list of the most popular dog breeds of the U.S. in the U.S. of 2022. And here they are, the number one dog, the French Bulldog.
Wow.
Hey.
The French Bulldog?
I love French Bulldogs.
That's interesting.
Awesome dog. Awesome dog. So happy for the French Bulldog. I've been rooting for the French Bulldog for years. They had a couple of bad years there where they had to, you know, kind of go lower in the draft and you know, rebuild the team and everything. But now they're stronger, and I think they're going to go on a run here. I think it could see a new dynasty.
I think you've hit a new low with sports analogies. But yes, you know.
I think I'm broken, Seth. I think my brain is broken. I think it's finally time to admit that I can't help myself and that it's broken.
You can't.
Nope. The French Bulldog is number one. Labrador Retriever still at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Retrievers coming in strong at number three. German Shepherd Dogs at number four.
Mm-hmm.
And at number five, Poodles.
Mm.
I'll give you the bottom five here in just a second, but that top five, not a lot of changes in the top five, just a change in order.
Right, right. And I'm guessing, so I'm not sure if they didn't specify if it was like regular sized poodles or miniature poodles. I know people usually think of miniature poodles, but actual poodles are actually quite big dogs. And so most of the dogs on this list are bigger dogs, with the exception of the French Bulldog.
Now, I did mention that the Labrador Retriever has been dethroned for the first time. It was number one for 31 years straight. Wow. Before that, it was the Cocker Spaniel.
Really?
That was number
one. A little smaller dog. Yeah, okay.
Keep that in mind, because the Cocker Spaniel does not show up in the top 10 at all. So in the past 31 years, the Cocker Spaniel has gone that far out of favor with people.
Wow.
This, of course, does not mean that these dogs are not still popular and loving and wonderful and all that. Don't let trends pull you one way or the other. Yeah. Find the right dog for you and the right breed for you.
All of those dogs make sense to me that are in the top five. I mean, they seem to be very, common.
Bulldogs came in at number six because they're awesome. We love you, Bulldogs. Rottweilers came in at number seven.
Really?
Beagles at number eight.
Oh, my mom's favorite.
Dachshund Hounds at number nine.
Oh, wiener dogs.
And German short hair pointers at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pointers there.
Okay.
So, Dachshund Hounds are, I've only been around a handful of them. They tend to be one of the more grumpier animals I've been around, but it's the only dog, I've never met a dog that didn't like me. I don't know what it is, I don't know why, but every dog I've ever ran into comes running up to me and just seems to really like me. This is not that uncommon. Dogs tend to like people.
Yes, they do.
But the only time I've ever had my oldest friend, Chris, his family had a little guy, Skipper.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wiener dog.
Yep.
That dog didn't like anybody. Like anybody, it seemed like. It just, Skipper was a great dog. It was a sweet dog, but not to me. Didn't like me.
Well, you have to remember that dachshunds were originally bred to fight badgers.
Yeah.
In badger holes. That's why they're shaped the way they are, which to me is insane.
I mean,
it's like, what the heck?
That's a job I'm not signing up for.
No. Badgers are, talk about grumpy animals. What about badgers?
Yeah, you can just forget that, man. Like, you can send me to the shelter. I'm not fighting no badger. I'm not fighting.
Badgers are, like, super strong, too.
Yeah.
They can, like knock things over.
Badgers have, like, these things. I don't know if you've noticed. Claws.
Giant claws.
Claws, teeth. Yes. A jaw that is like a steel trap.
Yeah.
What is a dachshund hound got? His nose? Like his cuteness?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to defeat you with my power of being cute. Like, that doesn't seem to work on badgers.
No.
What were they thinking with this?
They weren't. It seemed to work. No, I don't know. Well, hound dogs are always bred to hunt something. Okay? Yeah, beagles were bred to hunt rabbits. You know, you had, bloodhounds are, you know, pretty much bred to find whatever you want. You know, you can get them to do that. They have really great noses. But they're usually it's something. But badgers, really? That seems so strange.
I understand that the idea that wasn't for the animal to take on the animal, but to help you find it so that you can hunt it yourself.
But still, dangerous job,
I get that, yeah. But still, you would think that they at least give him a knife or something. Give him something to defend, a pair of brass knuckles or something like that. Give the poor dachshund hound something to defend
poor
himself.
Poor dog. Yep.
Some, you know, gold teeth. I don't know. Something to defend themselves. That's an interesting list. That's pretty cool. And a shout out to the Bulldogs. Awesome dogs. Good boy.
I wonder if, I know they probably don't have records for this, but I'll bet at the height of Lassie movies and stuff like that back in the 30s and 40s, I'll bet the Collie was probably a very popular dog.
Well, it's part of the reason why, and I don't know who the most famous dog is now. I don't know, who it is anymore. But maybe Snoopy. Maybe it's still Snoopy. I don't know if Snoopy isn't. But I would say that's part of the reason why back in the day we saw Spuds McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a Cocker Spaniel. Oh no, it was a beagle.
I can't. No, I can't remember what.
No, he
what,
wasn't. He wasn't.
What species? Buzz McKenzie
was a Rottweiler,
was.
I think.
Yeah,
actually.
I think he was a Rottweiler. Yeah.
So no, that doesn't make sense. No, I'm thinking of an animal though. There is a dog that I'm thinking of that was a Cocker Spaniel that was popular. I just
yes.
can't think of which one it was.
I know what it was because it was when we were kids. The dog that was in movies, I think Benji was pretty big when we were kids, if I remember correctly. He was in a couple of movies. So
yeah, they're plus they have like the Cocker Spaniel has been featured in like family shows.
Yes,
like, it seems to be that kind of dog and stuff. Yeah. It's an interesting list. Definitely interesting list. We're going to take a break. We'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club when we come back. After Melissa's news, we've got the top 10 household decisions kids get to weigh in on. At least they we let them think that they get to
think
weigh in on.
That. Yeah.
That's coming up.
We'll see.
The morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We are about to do some celebrating, but before we can do that, we want to let you know a little bit more about our friends at Misty's because they are closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays for the first couple of weeks of March. On March 20th, they will be opening their doors regularly to regular hours again. Mm-hmm. So just about 4 days away from Misty's going back to their regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I hope that they are getting some good rest and enjoyed the time off. Well deserved.
Well deserved.
A big thank you to one of the greatest spots you can ever have a cup of coffee, let alone a great breakfast or luncheon, our friends at Misty's Menu. One of the most original atmospheres you will ever see.
There's no place like it.
I don't care
really
where
isn't.
You're listening to us, where you're going.
Yep.
You go to Misty's and you are going to walk into that place and be like, I've never seen anything like this. This is awesome. You're going to feel at home. You're going to feel like at your grandma and grandpa's house or something like that. You're going to get food that's going to taste homemade.
The staff is just wonderful.
That's what it all comes down to. That atmosphere, the prices, all that is really good. It is the people that is kept Misty's Menu around so going strong for so many years and why Misty's has been a part of things at WFHR here for so very, very long. We appreciate our friends at Misty's Menu as much as we appreciate all of you helping us celebrate with getting us your birthdays and anniversaries.
Yes, indeed.
Send them to info@WFHR.com. That's info@WFHR.com. Real easy way to do it is also direct message us on Facebook.
Right.
Just type in your search bar WFHR, like our page, and you can send us all your messages. And of course, you can email our staff directly. My email is james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Misty's is open tomorrow from 6 to 2 over at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Treat yourself on St. Patrick's Day. They may, they may have some special St. Patty's Day stuff there. You never know with them.
I know that on Fridays it's traditionally fish fry, but can you not eat corned beef and hash on St. Patrick's Day?
I mean, it
was a must in our family, and I came from a very strong Italian family, and my nana made dang sure that we had corned beef and hash every St. Patrick's Day.
Excellent.
So go ahead and get some Misty's in your life tomorrow, everybody. Seth, I need a one or a two from you.
I'll do two today.
Yeah, you did that yesterday with the one. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
There. Mm-hmm. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Kaya Inoff.
Kaya, happy birthday.
We hope you have a great day. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it, Kaya. And also a happy birthday to Gifty Schultz.
Gifty Schultz, what a great name. Happy
great
birthday,
name.
Gifty.
And that name fits her.
Yeah.
Gifty's awesome. Gifty, along with Kelly and the gang over at Fantastic Sam's, do a solid job. I just saw them yesterday.
Nice.
Big thank you to them for the, I don't know how Kelly is able to do what she does with my hair.
With your mask on top of your head there.
I don't know how. I go from looking like Sideshow Bob to looking somewhat decent. I don't know how she does it. And Gifty has cut my hair too before. Just as talented. Very fun. Very good person at what she does. Visit our friends over there if you're looking to get your cut, especially if you're in that area. And have a great birthday, Gifty. We want to wish them celebrity birthdays now as we shift gears here. We wish a very happy birthday to Tyrell Jackson Williams. He's 26. He's Leo on Disney's Lab Rats.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of that. I've never seen
heard
it,
of
but
that
I've
heard, one. Yep. Charles on Brockmire, and Hank Azar and Amanda Peet, who are also on that show.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. next up, Wolfgang Van Halen is 32. Of course,
wow.
The son of Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli. He's Van Halen's current bassist.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I like that Van Halen is still touring. I know it seems weird.
Without Eddie,
But, If you told me, okay, you could see Van Halen, but you don't get to see Eddie. I'm like, oh, dang it. I don't know if I want to. Yeah. But you could see his son. Like, oh, I'm still going. Yeah. I'll go see that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
He has really handled his self in the public eye, I think, very well, too.
Considering very famous parents, yeah.
Yeah. Blake Griffin is 34, former LA Clipper, Detroit Piston, Brooklyn Net, currently with the Boston Celtics.
Is that where he is now?
No. Blake Griffin really kind of reinvented himself. His hops went. And when that happens, usually your career is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially he came into the NBA as just an offensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's really used his size and learned to rebound a lot better to make himself valuable as a defensive asset.
Boy, that does not happen very much in the NBA.
No, I admire that. Yeah. I will say you're seeing it more happen more and more nowadays than ever before.
Well, I think guys are learning that it helps extend their careers a little bit, too. Yeah. Yeah.
The great, the wonderful Alan Tudyk is 52 today.
Oh man, one of the great voices that you've heard his voice in so many things you don't even know.
Yep,
because he's just one of those ubiquitous voices.
I think most people fell in love with him as Wash on Firefly.
Yeah,
many may remember him as Alpha on Dollhouse. He was the killer robot Sonny in Will Smith's iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible job during that. If you are a fan of his, I cannot encourage you enough to watch Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. It is one of the silliest and weirdest movies you'll see, and he shines in it so well. If you are a fan of his, I almost feel like you have to watch that movie, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Okay,
I really can't guarantee it. I almost guarantee that you'll enjoy it if you're an Alan Tudyk fan.
There you go.
You've never seen him like that, and you'll love him. You'll love him. He was also in the show that I mentioned a couple of times, Doom Patrol. He was the villain in the first season, was masterful. I really enjoyed his performance in that. Mm-hmm. But he has recently been in a TV show, Resident Alien, where he's playing an alien on this planet who's hidden. Incredible work, as always, by him.
I saw part of an episode, yeah.
I think some of his best acting.
Yeah.
And that's really saying something because the man is so dang good at what he does.
He's had a really, really cool career.
K2SO in Rogue One. He was the main android in Rogue One. I think it was K2 or something like that.
Yes, he was.
One of my top five favorite androids in Star Wars history. Easily. Maybe top three.
There's a lot of droids in Star Wars.
A lot of droids, so it's really saying something. That's how much I love Alan. I just love his work so much. He's one of those guys I root for so, so very much. Mm-hmm. Lauren Graham is 56. The mom on Gilmore Girls. Yes. And she's been in a handful of other things, too.
She's been around for a while now. She's
a good actor. Had a really solid career.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Peete is 57, former NFL quarterback, a good college player with Houston, played with Detroit for a long time.
Yeah, but he always seemed to be more famous for who he was married to than his football career.
Holly Robinson had a pretty nice career, too, for a long time there. Let's see here. Jerome Flynn is 60. He is Bronn on Game of Thrones. Did a great job on that.
Oh, who wasn't on Game of Thrones?
No, it did seem like everybody was on it. One of my favorite creatives of all time, Mr. Todd McFarlane, is 62. The creator of Spawn. He's responsible he's also the guy who spent $3 million on Mark McGuire's 70th home run ball. I don't know how he
does
feels
he regret
about
that. Now?
Yeah, I wonder how he feels about that. At a time where DC and Marvel owned the comic book industry, mm-hmm. Dark Horse and some other comics were trying to get in there, and Todd McFarlane's Spawn changed that game. All of a sudden, you had to start respecting other comic book companies.
Right, exactly. And because he, at first anyway, he was part of that group of artists and writers that broke off and made Image Comics in the 90s. And that was a big deal when it happened. Because, they were directly taking on the big two of Marvel and DC. Yeah. And they really did. I mean, they stumbled at first. But now Image has become one of the great creator-owned comic labels. Of the comic world. If you are a creator and you have an idea and you want to keep the rights to that, which is very important to creators, you go to Image because they're very famous for that now.
I think that is one of their one of the cooler parts of their legacy and of McFarlane's legacy.
Yep.
I also, the movie Spawn that came out years back, it was bad, but it was such a bad experience. It's part of the reason why we haven't seen Spawn yet. is it Todd McFarlane's like he's really hesitant now to do that.
A little
gun
shy after
what happened.
This is his
baby, you know. And I can imagine. But when they do decide to actually turn it into a movie or a TV show, animated, real action, whatever, it'll be huge. I have a hard time believing it can't do good. Not with nowadays technology and all this stuff and the freedom that you have with superhero movies and everything.
Yes, I have to give Todd McFarlane, you know, as an artist, you know, he always seemed to have trouble drawing, you know, people faces and stuff like that. But action scenes, oh my gosh, he was one of the best. Still is one of the best artists
still
out there.
Still is one of the. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that too. I didn't bring that up. That's a good point to mention with him as an illustrator. Flavor Flav is 64 today.
Nice.
Favorite hip hop group of all time, Public Enemy. You had the seriousness, the militant Chuck D with some of the greatest poetry, some of the greatest lyrics you're ever going to hear, making points, making facts. Some of these killer beats from Terminator X that would bring you just original sound. Things that you hadn't heard before in the hip hop industry, but this was too heavy. It was too much. You needed a balance. You needed something to keep it light, especially back in the 80s and 90s with hip hop. People weren't ready for a heavy message like Chuck D had and everything. So you bring in the hype man. You bring in a guy who can keep the balance and everything. And Flavor Flav is still to this day arguably the greatest hype man of all time. Now his career has obviously gone in a whole other direction.
Yeah, who knew, right?
And I don't know how much those two even get along anymore or anything like that, which is kind of sad to me.
Rap duos never work out. Look at what happened to Outkast.
They never seem to work out. No. But I think you can do two things at once. Where Flavor Flav is now, but also give respect to where he took where he helped Public Enemy go. Mm-hmm. You don't get it without the two. You need both of those guys to put that band where they are.
It couldn't have been more different. It's really interesting.
It is weird. Yeah, it is interesting. I don't even know how they even knew each other. I just love it. I got to hear that story.
Yeah.
The great Nancy Wilson is 69 today.
Love Nancy.
Another part of Heart.
Oh, yes. What a great voice.
Just an iconic voice. Mm-hmm. Iconic voice. Eric Estrada is 74 today.
Keep on keeping on, Eric.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Estrada, long career. Mm-hmm. Nice long career for him. Nothing to be ashamed of with him.
Another guy who like, he seems to revel in making fun of himself.
Yeah.
He seems to really enjoy it.
Yeah. I would say he's done a really good job of that and actually gotten a second career in some ways at that. He's done some Adult Swim shows, like, you know, and stuff, and done some voice work
and
everything.
He's done some pretty good voice work,
I think that's pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm. Like, when you humble yourself, you can continue to work.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the important thing, right?
To humble yourself. Victor Garber is 74. Jennifer Gardner's double agent dad on Alias. Most recently, he was the older half of Firestorm on DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Victor Garber, unfortunately, it probably won't happen until he passes away, but I feel like he's going to be one of those people. Oh, Victor Garber. Oh, I remember him from this. I remember him from this. Just one of those guys. It feels like he's been around our whole life acting and being the dad in something or being the bad guy in this. Or
much more of a theater guy, song and dance man.
Yeah.
If you have ever seen the movie version of Godspell.
Oh,
he
good
plays,
reference,
he
bro.
Plays Jesus in that. And that's him at, I mean, he was just starting out. But man, he's what a singer. I mean, he's an amazing all-around talent.
He's got a show coming out.
Oh, does he?
He's headlining a show coming out called Family Law. It looks like it's going to be a movie coming out. He still looks good, too.
He does.
I always thought he was kind of sneaky handsome.
Oh,
kind of like a casual handsome kind of thing, you know?
Like he looked more like a normal, attractive person, not like an overly glamorous person, right? You know?
Good actor.
Yeah.
Very good actor. The great Chuck Woolery is 82 today. One of the kings of the game show world.
We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Yes. Who knows what that means? Who knows? Who cares? It was great. It means 2 minutes for the commercial plus 1 second out
for the bumpers.
But just in case anybody was wondering.
I love the fact that he did that, though.
I love that he did it and never explained it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that he just kind of, it was his thing. It was kind of there. Obviously, incredibly good at what he did. Chuck Woolery, I don't think that game shows. So here's something that's interesting is the Wheel of Fortune is successful without Pat Sajak. is Jeopardy is successful without Alex Trebek. Mm. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just, I think it's an interesting question. I think it's interesting to wonder, hey, what would have happened with if this person hadn't done this or what have you? And when it comes to Chuck Woolery, I think that's a fair question to ask about the game shows he hosted. He was so good at what he did. Would the match game, would the be as big as
the dating game?
The dating game.
Yeah,
sorry,
right. And then the couple other games or shows that he did.
Yeah.
What he was so good at was putting the people at ease on the stage. He was able to, if they're having trouble, communicating something, he'd be there to help them and that sort of thing. I thought he was, has anyone been parodied more than Chuck Woolery?
Yeah.
I mean, how many, every single sketch comedy show that's ever existed has done one dating game sketch. Mr. Show on Down. They've done it. Come on.
Woolery was actually the original host of Wheel of Fortune from 75 to 81.
That's a good, nice 6-year run.
That's a real
long
run.
So he was partially responsible for success. How about that?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I also forgot about Lingo. He did that on the Game Show Network. That was like one of the last ones he did.
Yes, that's right.
2002 to 2007. So even then, he was still...
We tend to make fun of game show hosts, but to be a good game show host, it takes some talent. You got to have a certain talent set in order to do it. So,
some people no longer with us. Jerry Lewis, born on this day in 1926, passed away in 2017. When he passed, I think that we talked a bit about this, but unfortunately, you live long enough and you have a long career, and that's great for your legacy, but can also mean that you kind of get known by younger people as a certain thing. And I think for many people, Jerry Lewis was looked at as the guy who made the funny face and the cross-eyed look and all this stuff. Right,
when he was first starting out,
Let it never be lost. Let us remember some certain things about Jerry Lewis. One, obviously, Dean and Lewis and Martin, all the great comedy he gave us, the movies, all that stuff. Also, one of the biggest forefront leaders of you want a young Jewish man to do your MC work and everything, I'm coming in through the front door. Dean Martin, Jerry's coming in the front door with me. None of this Jew is coming in through the kitchen stuff or anything like that. What Jerry Lewis did for Jewish people cannot be lost on us. Cannot be lost, especially in this day and age. He put up with so much anti-Semitism that he never complained about. He was Jackie Robinson on this stuff, and nobody ever gives him credit for it. Now, one person have I ever heard say Jerry Lewis really fought, really dealt with this stuff? Nothing. I never hear anything about it. They just talk about the silly Mr. Jerry Lewis did so darn much for my people and so much for us as people. It should be noted. Obviously, with the great work that he did, the telethons and everything.
Yeah, his Labor Day telethons, you are never, ever going to see anything like that again.
Yeah.
He took over a network for however long those telethons were for. He stayed there the entire time. I mean, you're never, ever going to see that again.
You can't talk about comedy. You can't talk about stand-up comedy. You can't talk about television or telethons and not mention Jerry Lewis. Mm-mm. If you don't include his name, you're not giving a correct history. Yep. He's that a part of it. He's that integral to all of these things.
That is correct.
And dang funny and hilarious to me that he had jet black hair right up to the very end. Jet black hair. There's guys that he worked with that are gone, and Jerry Lewis still black hair. That's great.
If nothing else,
more power to you, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. We have to give our friends in France for getting they got this one right because they love Jerry Lewis over there, and they are the ones that are correct on that. So,
comedy doesn't age well. It's the jicks of comedy where it's topical and everything.
Yeah.
So some of his stuff may not land as it does now, back in the day and stuff, but his comedic timing is timeless. And that was incredible. He did a couple guest spots on The Simpsons, and it blew me away how even in voice acting, he was that you feel Jerry Lewis. Like, that's how good he was with his voice even as an actor.
And for a more serious role, check out King of Comedy.
Thank you.
He was very good in that movie.
I wanted to wrap up with that. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
No. It's just if you haven't seen Jerry Lewis, I think that, that's one of the things I would recommend to see. James Madison, born on this day in 1751, passed away in in 1836. Of course, as we mentioned and talked about him earlier, father of our Constitution, fourth president of the United States. He was 5'4".
Yeah, he was
weighed under 100 pounds. My goodness. I didn't know that.
He was not a very big man.
There's presidents that their face fits on the dollar bill or whatever. There's presidents that can fit the whole guy on thing.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Madison. We appreciate you everything that you did. We hold you accountable for history, and also thank you for history.
Of course.
And Henny Youngman.
Oh.
One of the kings of the one-liners.
King of the one-liner.
Born in 1906, passed away in 1998. When I read about the evils of drinking, I give up reading. I was so ugly when I was born, the doctor slapped my mother.
Yeah, oh, that's one of my favorites.
My best friend ran away with my wife, and let me tell you, I miss him very much.
Yes.
And his classic, Take My Wife, Please.
Which has become like one of the all-time great lines. It's not funny anymore because everyone has done it. Mm. Yeah.
Henny Youngman, born on this day. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Kaya. Happy birthday, Kaya.
Happy birthday, Kaya.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Gifty Schultz.
Gifty, happy birthday.
And we're going to get to Melissa's news. When we come back, top 10 household decisions kids get to weigh in on.
All right.
All that coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. One, two, three. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Haviger, my new best friend.
Yes.
This is how quickly it happens.
You're so fickle.
Yeah.
So fickle.
Easily my favorite Prince song.
Oh.
By far and away.
His lyrics on it are just so great in this song.
Every lyric in this song is great, but She Came In Through the Outdoor. That will always be my favorite Prince lyric. I have no idea why, but my whole life, that is the kind of girl I've been attracted to, and he hit it on the mark on that note. Mm-hmm. And for my whole life, that's just a great song. Great artist.
And who uses leisurely in their song? I mean, that's just great wordplay.
Good stuff. We are back, and we've got a good one for you here. We mostly tell kids to listen and do what we tell them to, but not always. 2,000 parents were asked to name the top decisions that their kids get to weigh in on.
Cool.
And here are the most common ones. How to decorate their own room. That seems pretty fair.
Yeah, it's where their living space is. I wish it were better than my kids of decorating with everything on the floor.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure what kind of decorating that is, but it's, you know.
You take the jacket off and you put it on a hook. Yeah. Like, it just seems so simple, right?
There's
seems
a bookshelf
so simple.
Right there.
And just throw it on the, put it on the, I mean, just put the book in the bookshelf. It's right there. It's called a bookshelf.
It's on the floor. Just pick it up and, anyway.
They don't do it. They don't
kids,
do it. It's going too fast.
Yep.
What to have for dinner?
I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Because from one of my children, it was always the same answer. Pizza.
Yeah, pizza every day.
No, we're not having pizza for every meal. Sorry.
When did you become the Little Caesars mascot?
Yeah, pizza.
What to watch on TV?
Because now there's so many choices of what to watch. You know, when we were kids, of course, you had the number of channels. You didn't have cable, which I did not. And so, you know, everyone has to decide what are we watching, you know, tonight kind of thing. But now they just get to watch their stuff. We get to watch our stuff. You know, every now and then it'll converge, you know, and we'll all watch something. But it doesn't happen so much anymore.
It's interesting. I didn't run into that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What games or board games to play?
Oh, big one for our kids.
Yeah.
Yes, we got lots of board games. They love to play them. So, yeah, they're very much in on that decision.
What movie to go see?
That's an interesting one. We have one who does not like movies that much.
Oh.
And mostly because I think he has sensitive hearing.
Yeah.
So it gets really loud in there. So if we give him, like, you know, earplugs or something, he does better. But coming up very soon, we've got a movie we are all going to be going to see. That is the Super Mario movie.
Oh, cool.
Coming up in April. So that one's an easy decision.
Yeah.
If it's a video game character they like, we're going.
Yeah. Right on.
Having with Sonic and, you know, all that stuff. So.
Yeah. I gotcha. The other thing that I think is interesting about this is the game that we're playing here as parents. Mm-hmm. They're not. We're not really letting them decide. We're letting them think they're deciding, yeah. but we're not really letting them decide. And that's an interesting like thing that you think about because mm-hmm. we're thinking about this as parents, you and I, of course, mm-hmm. and many people out there listening. We didn't invent this. Our parents were doing it to us, too.
Where do you think we learned it?
Yeah, exactly. And I'll never forget the moment that that occurred to me. Yes. It was much later in life than I'd like to admit. But it was one of those moments
wait a minute.
Hey, wait a second here. I thought I was in charge. No.
Yeah, no, no, no.
You were
no.
never in charge. You never ran anything. You were never doing anything. No, no. They just let you think that you were.
Maybe they took your input a little bit. You know, it's like duly noted. Thank you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. How about which toppings to get on a pizza?
Yes.
That's a good one.
If they're going to eat it, I suppose we should ask them.
Not a bad thought. Not a bad thought.
Nothing but anchovies, kids. Nothing but anchovies. Yeah.
If you want your kids to not like pizza, maybe that's something to do.
Maybe I should try that next time.
The junk food you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah, I think so. If we're gonna have like a little party thing, you know, on a Friday or something, of course we'll let them pick up what they want to snack on.
So. I think that again, this is also a great way of controlling, like what
true.
They,
yes.
hey, you can choose this, this, and this, and
right.
you give them options mm-hmm. that you're okay with,
yeah, exactly.
as opposed to them just grabbing a block of sugar and just gnawing on that.
Do they sell that block of sugar?
I don't know, but I'm thinking,
just licking it, you know.
The way the candy game is going, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's coming soon.
Hey, kids, here's.
Soon.
Try Shug. It's the new candy, and it's just a block of sugar.
It's someone just heard that. Now, I know what I'm coming out with.
I just messed up, and I just gave somebody like an idea that I'm not going to make any money off.
It's like a salt lick only.
That's the first thing that popped by. It's just a salt lick. That's all it is. This is manufactured for kids.
Oh, my God.
Just put a little like a cartoon character on it, and boom, there you go.
Yikes.
You can sell them to your horses and your kids. Don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Choosing a restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, you want to, I mean, other than the pizza place, no.
So I brought up the idea that we're kind of letting kids think that they're making these decisions, mm-hmm. that part of it. Then there's the other half of it with this, where if you don't give them a choice and you try to tell them what to do, you've got to drag them through. You have to do that very well. Oh, yeah.
It's like you've had practice doing that before.
in some ways, this is where this gets twisted on us.
Yeah.
Where, okay, you get to make the decisions, but you're going to be putting up with this little 20-pound weight that just doesn't want to go anywhere, doesn't want to do any of this. It's going to be dragging their feet and all that. So it's just better off to, okay, where do you want to go?
Yeah, exactly.
And what to listen to in the car. Now, we can help you with that. I would say WFHR is your first and greatest choice.
In fact, you should just tear the knob off.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You don't really need anything else. You don't need any of those other stations.
No. You don't need anything on those other ones. I promise we'll tell you whatever you're missing on other stations, okay? We'll cover you. We got your back.
So disingenuous.
But that is a fun one to do, too, I think.
Yeah.
I actually think that that's from my parents. My dad would tell me all the time that was how he got into new music, like by us choosing what was playing stuff.
That's
my dad,
cool.
big fan of Alice in Chains, big fan of Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason he knows those bands is because of me in the car with him and everything. And, like,
can we listen to this? Yeah, right.
So I think that one has a benefit that we may not see right away as parents.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to my mom and dad, like, oh, I think that actually I should do a little more of that. I should let the kids choose what to listen to a little more. And finally, which presents to buy other family members? Also, where to go on vacation, just missed the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that that one is popular, or places like Disney World wouldn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Something to keep in mind.
Something to keep in mind, everybody. Yes.
It's a fun list.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of on that list? I was thinking of what to wear, like what they choose to wear. You know, that's something we let our kids do. I didn't see that on the
list. Definitely do that. I'm not picking up my kids' clothes.
I love doing that. Kids come out with the most fearless outfits of all time. You think Lady Gaga or like pop stars do this? No, nobody does it better than kids.
Kids, because they really don't care. At some point they start caring, but when they're kids, no.
They'll have a Mickey Mouse shirt. shirt with some polka dot pants that the colors don't even match and a pair of moon boots.
Yeah.
And they'll rock it. They will rock
Their own style, man.
They will rock it with the confidence of a thousand suns. They like like nobody's business. And I love that. It's one of my favorite things about kids.
Yep.
I love it. I wish we never grew out of that. And I wish we all lived that way.
You are so right. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice?
We
put on two different colored socks.
We put such a hang up on clothes. We put so much, and myself included. I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm opposed from this.
Right.
We put so much on clothes and appearance and all these things. They say dance like nobody's watching, dress like nobody's looking. Watched.
Yeah, there you go.
I think
there
that's a fun way to live. Yeah. I think that I do it every day, and it does not help me very much as an adult. It's actually very really good. It might be a detriment to me.
Man. Give them enough rope, I'm telling you.
We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody.
How'd that work out? That's kind of funny.
That was pretty good. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and we're getting ready to take you to the top of the hour where CBS News will come in and do their thing, get you informed on world events. And then we are going to be joined by Madison and our friends from the Southwold County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week.
Yes, indeed.
I cannot wait to see what Madison has in store for us today. That's going to be so much fun.
Get ready for a very distracted James Maloff. That's all I'm going to say.
And we want to send a big shout out, of course, to Current Technologies, our sponsor this week. Mm-hmm. Man, we appreciate our friends at Current Technologies. Mm-hmm. Great people over there. We'll talk more about them with Madison and our new furry friend. Looking forward to that coming up at the top of the hour right after CBS News. Right now, how many pillows do you need to sleep? Tomorrow is World Sleep Day. If you want to start celebrating tonight, here are a few stats from a new poll about sleeping habits.
There you go.
I will excuse myself from this conversation as I don't have a leg to stand on.
You know, I was just realizing you're talking about sleep a lot. Are you trying to tell us something here, Mr. Maloff? Are you trying to, you know, something going on?
I'm begging you for help.
Is that what it is? It's a cry for help.
Please help me, everybody. Let me hear. So let me see here. My computer was acting up. Sorry about that. 42% of Americans prefer to sleep on their side.
Mm-hmm.
18% are usually back sleepers, and 17% sleep on their stomach.
So that's about even about back and stomach sleepers. Yeah. Okay.
I start on my side.
Mm-hmm.
I end up on my head or on the floor.
Which is a neat trick.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I knew how I did it.
Yeah, how do I do that?
Yeah, that's – I'm so bad at sleeping.
How did I end up on the chandelier?
So bad. It's happened. I woke up on the ceiling one year. I still don't know how that happened.
You and Lionel Richie.
Some people need a constant setup each night to fall asleep, mm-hmm. but 22% of people claim that they switch up their sleeping position every night, and 64% of people consider themselves restless sleepers.
How many? 64?
64%.
That's a lot. My goodness. First of all, how can you tell?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's an interesting note.
Yeah.
Not only that, but how many people are walking around and don't even realize that they are sleep deprived? I think that's another thing too about that.
Yeah.
Only 1 in 10 people wake up feeling refreshed every morning.
1 in 10. Wow, that's really low.
That's way too low.
That's really low.
And on average, people say that they need to sleep with 3 pillows.
Okay.
Which sounds fine until you consider that for every person who sleeps with one, there's someone who's buried in 5 pillows and that kind of thing.
There is excessive pillows, I think, in my personal opinion.
Yeah,
there's such thing as excessive
pillows. I feel like if there is more pillow than bed.
There's something wrong there,
That's a bad ratio.
Just lay on pillows then, you know?
It seems like what you might as well do. It does seem like what you might as well do in that situation.
If you like pillows that much.
You know, tomorrow, especially with tomorrow being World Sleep Day, I've wondered this for a while, and you actually noticed something, Seth. We have been talking about sleep a lot.
Yeah.
Because in my time of years joking about my sleep and all that and everything, I've gotten so much feedback from great listeners because they are great people out there who do give a dang about me for some reason. And I don't know why, but I greatly am humbled and appreciate it. Some good advice a couple weeks ago about sleep. And it didn't do a whole lot for me, but it got me really thinking about this. this subject.
Okay.
What is, you know, one of these gray areas, these underrated things that we don't seem to talk about nearly enough in society. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot on our plate and a lot of things to deal with.
It's true.
That we got to, you know, focus on and work on. Mm-hmm. And so many of those things seem like they're out of our hands. They seem like they're bigger than us, or what can I do to help with this big subject or something? And here's a subject that 64% of people consider themselves restless sleepers. 1 in 10 people wake up feeling refreshed. That's only one in ten. Look at how many people this affects.
Uh-huh.
This is something that affects a gigantic amount of the population. Mm-hmm. That is a gigantic part of our well-being, our mental and physical mm-hmm. health. And it's something that we can tackle ourselves.
It's true.
It's something we can do ourselves. We can do this on your own. I'm not saying it's just that easy. Obviously, I will be the first to tell you it isn't.
Right.
But it's something that you can work on. Something that you mm-hmm. yourself can, you know, make a better world for your own self, just in your own way.
Right. Right. And I'm not to the level you are. I haven't worked my way up to that yet. No. But I've always had a trouble. You know, especially falling asleep. That's always been something that I've had issues with. So you know, and so I do the same thing as you do. I try new things. I try to find ways to help me, you know, get to sleep a little bit sooner. Because it's for me, it's not that I'm not tired. It's that I fight it.
Mm.
I fight going to sleep. And I've been doing that since I've been a kid. And that's something I've always tried to work on. Mm. Try to say, how can I make it so I'm not, you know, pushing against it so much that I can actually go and lay down and relax and, you know, drift off or whatever. So, yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
I think that I didn't know that about you.
Yeah,
I didn't know that you had that. That just speaks to what we're talking about here, of like how many of us are walking around with this stuff that we don't know about or we're aware of. But the other crux of it, of course, is I say that we can do this on our own, and this is something that we, you know, maybe we can't solve this problem that's a world problem, but this is an individual thing that you can do something about. I don't want to make it sound like, well, it's just that easy. Go ahead and fix your sleep.
Yeah, right.
I'm more so bringing it up to bring awareness and get it in people's heads. Like, if you've thought about this before and, like, look at your sleep patterns. Look at do you have an issue with this? Is this something you need to work on? And give yourself some grace with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working at this for 40 years. I'm not exaggerating. I've been between my parents and myself trying to get me to be able to have a normal sleep pattern or sleep just in general.
Right.
I'm still working at it. It's a work in progress. So give yourself some grace with it, but take the time because you deserve that. It is such an integral part of your mental and physical health.
Yeah, and we're learning so much. Sleep science has advanced so much in the past few years. Not only are we learning how important sleep is to humans, they're finding, you know, and again, it's a big mystery. Sleep is one of those things that we just don't know a whole lot about because we take it for granted. It's, you know, something because humans need sleep. We need, in order to recharge, we need to do that. So people just, it's simple, you just go to sleep and stuff. No, it's not that easy. It's a lot more complicated than we thought. So, yeah.
Just as one loose connection, one in 10 people waking up feeling so 9 people waking up this morning not feeling refreshed,
feeling groggy,
feeling groggy or grumpy. And what do most of them do? They get in their car, they go to work or something like that, or they get on their laptop and work from home. Whatever the case is, you're going into the workplace with that mentality, with that feeling and everything. And then we wonder why we hate our jobs or things like that and everything. Like, I wonder how much that change would change things for people.
I bet you it would have a really big impact.
Just getting some good sleep.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to CBS News. We'll come back with our friend Madison and Southwood County Humane Society coming up with our Pet of the Week right here on WFHR's Morning Show.